somewhere high up above, circling the empty and accursed sky, a vulture sings our doom with its wailing cry. I wonder if in us it sees a tragic story, or a welcome meal. Neither particularly please me, but the very idea of anything giving me a reason to feel something other than the inevitability of a crushing defeat at the hands of cruel happenstance is a fine and foolish idea indeed. I force the sound to the back of my mind, and continue on a walk I fear is doomed to never end. And wouldn't that be a comical thing? For a journey through a world that met its end a long time ago, to itself have no end at all, only a miserable continuation of nothing but footsteps and ailing heartbeats, both mine and hers. She is my companion, my fellow traveller, a friend, I hope, though fatal circumstance and simple necessity are rarely the seeds from which true friendships are born. She is a woman I have come to rely on, just as I know she relies on me, for no one could possibly survive in this world, resting solely upon themselves. Perhaps in another time, another life, such a thing may have been possible. But that life, that time, had fewer guns, and a lower number of folk eager to use them. Our world is one of rust and death, and the consequences of poor decisions made by men unwilling to make anything but, for all their charm. I do not know her name, and she doesn't know mine. She only knows me for what I can provide, what I offer, and what I represent in a world where utility doesn't so much precede affection than it does overshadow it. The way a mountain might hide a flower. In a world that has, for a lack of a better term, simply decided to stop working, the only options life presents is to either sit in the sand and wait for death, or worse, to claim you as its own, or to put one foot before the other, and repeat, until death or salvation presents itself with open arms. It seems that me and my darling companion leaned towards the latter. Perhaps we are the last, or only, two to take this path. Perhaps we are alone, save for each other. Perhaps this rusted and lifeless shell within which we reside is now as much our kingdom as it is our hearse, a rotten bicycle built for two. So, we walk. We walk, and we walk, and we sleep, and eat, and look over the copper-hued ruins of a civilization that once boasted of the end of barbarism before becoming its long-dead shrine. A monument to the final failure of mankind. Towards what we walk, neither of us truly know. For what could possibly lie at the end of this road that would make such a pilgrimage worthwhile, and not the futile act of those too eager to hide blatant desperation and display nothing but a unique brand of optimism and hope, if such a thing could have survived the fall. My nights are haunted with spectral images of a never-ending path, trodden by none but I, for in these dreams not even my female companion shares the road with me. The path spews forth more mud and bent sunburnt grass beneath my feet, and the horizon teases me endlessly, overlit by the floating inferno of a sun that mocks as eagerly as it burns. It burns everything. It incinerates. It kills. Waking amidst the scrap metal ruins of reality is never the gentle reprieve that I hope for. The world we pick through, all scrap and rot, still somehow bears signs of lives lived and extinguished. Bomb shadows hang puppet-like upon wall and sheet metal, like ghosts stalking our every move, omnipresent and watchful. Perhaps out of interest, perhaps out of the need for a mistake, a lapse in weariness, a sleep that holds us for just a minute too long, the perfect moment to leap from their soot-black bindings to fall upon us like predators in the night. The detritus of life sits on shelves and bookcases like offerings to gods once worshipped and now forgotten, and the little food that hides unscavenged in cupboards and hastily packs boxes is quickly thrown into the packs we carry, like burdens. Canned foods become answered prayers. Clean water is manna from whatever heaven still remains among the distant stars. We take what we can carry, and leave whatever remains for the wolves, or whatever might stalk our mud-immortalized footsteps. Conversation between my female companion and I is rare, for we have little to talk of but where to sleep, what to eat, when to hide when the raptors come creeping too close, and we huddle together like lovers in the night, hands clasped over mouths, eyes unblinking. She shows no eagerness for casual discourse, though at times, as the sun rains down unholy fire upon us and drinks our energy like a fine fucky wine, I feel her voice might nourish me as lovingly as water. But I am bestowed no such gift. She walks ahead, so that the sunblast silhouette she offers from behind is that which I walk towards. Not the distant and unknown potential treasure we seek, but such is life. What the eyes see is often so overshadowed and rendered irrelevant when it comes to what the mind sees, even when what it does not exist outside of its citadel. Sometimes we fuck. In another life, I might have called what we do the act of making love. For surely there is a white-hot desperation and need in the way her hands tear at my clothes and roam my body as we come together in the shade of some lifeless husk, be it a car, a home, perhaps nothing but the ramshackle dwelling of someone too resolute to fall down and die. Never were two lovers more open and blatant in their need for contact, for skin on flesh on skin. But there is no love here, and if there is, or was, I was unable to glimpse it. The trees were always in the way. This one speaks with hands and fingers and nails and a cunt which I claim as my own. Ownership she wordlessly submits to. The screaming voice of her touch more than makes up for the little that her lips surrender, and I consume her song with a lust no man could possibly rival. After, we lie together in wondrous silence, my arm around her, a palm pressed against her cheek, her breathing an unparalleled lullaby. I first came across her, surrounded and kneeling by the same men that now dog our tracks and hunt us like carrion. Not the exact same, but certainly the same breed, for in this world of anarchy and greed, and killing in the name of boredom and sport alike, there exists only those who fall prey to the waves of lust and become one with it, and those like myself and my lady, who stand against the tide. malicious shouts and a chilling female scream brought me to that place. An empty, but for them, street in a town I'd sooner have passed were it not for her. The focus of a circle of baying creatures, no longer deserving of the title of man, she sat defeated and unarmed, awaiting her fate. I couldn't say what drove me to unload my rifle into those waiting, salivating souls that day, risking my own life for a stranger who might, in different circumstances, have slit my throat as I slept and stole my food. I only recall the sight, through two of her assailants, of a mask that covered the lower half of her face, bearing a caricature banshee smile, being pulled down to her throat, revealing a dust-bared jaw and pink lips that stripped my mind of reason and caution as bullets end lives, as mine did that day. I killed gladly that day, and drank their screams like the coolest water. She thanked me in the way she would evermore thank me, with an eager kiss, and an urgency that warmed me more than any hellish sun, before she broke the jaw of every man there whose life I hadn't snuffed as completely as I'd thought, with a boot I'd follow for a million miles and more. That day, we agreed to walk together until the walking was done, or we were, whichever came first. We spoke of that which might lie beyond the horizon, and of a mutual need to see it, if only for a moment. In her eyes, I saw the same need, the same foolish hope that I believe she too saw in mine, and thus our fates became one and the same, till death do us part. Not all that we would meet on this journey would be eager to see us fall, though, and for this I am ever grateful. Many other wanderers walked those same roads, those same paths, downtrodden and marked to and fro, for not all sought the same sunset as we did. Aging folk, and those too young to remember the day that was, would often inquire as to our destination. Not that we had one. And those who pressed too deep into the mystery of our journey would meet our statements of hope and searching with mocking laughter or cynical jabs at a madness we were both too blind or stupid to accept. Regardless, there was some companionship to be had outside of my relationship with the girl with the banshee mask, and though folk were willing to trade and talk and share food and stories with us, all would avert lifeless gazes from us when we asked if they would like to walk with us. In truth, I was silently grateful for the endless refusals, for I feel the path was simply not wide enough to bear more than me and her, nor did I want it to. Why? I could not say, except for the undeniable feeling that if something did truly sit waiting at the end of the road, I wished only to share it with her. The end of the road was the sole possession of us. Ironic, then, that the end of our journey, for surely this must be it, if nothing else, for awe is something so never experienced, least of all shared, with a heart that sings the same dirge as your own, might come not at the end of the path we walked, but at the middle of a path I believe we'd barely even started. We found it, nestled within a church made up of bent, crooked sheet metal that housed it from all but a single shaft of golden sunlight. The ground was untouched, the metal coffin that surrounded it built by hands that had long since left, or by nothing but gravity's pull. It grows wide and strong, and in its bizarre regularity, we almost pass it by entirely. But then, in this world, in this life, one so rarely sees the colour purple, which I suppose makes this not so regular at all. A blueberry bush grows here, and perhaps had I been less in shock over the simplest and yet incredible of sights, in a dry and desolate wasteland, I might have questioned whether the fruit were in fact blue. But in those round and perfect orbs I see purple and blue, and every colour that has ever existed, and held court over textile and stone. We stand there in blissful relieved silence, for if this is not what we had sought, then what could possibly exist beyond? For the road does indeed continue on, and on, and on, but it is not a road me and mine are eager to walk. Instead, we step closer, hearing the rustling of its leaves in a thankfully convenient breeze, for no sound ever resonated as such in my heart, and we admire it but for a moment. For a moment is all we are afforded, such is life. There are people coming, perhaps others seeking that which we have toiled for so long to find, perhaps to marvel at it, perhaps to claim it, or, perhaps, to destroy it. I do not believe either I or my companion will be afforded an opportunity to ask. The question itself is irrelevant, as the spattering of machine-gun fire that riddles the steel sheeting behind us assassinates all potential for friendly conversation. Someone, mayhap another wanderer of these cold, dead lands, once told me that gunfire makes close relations amongst those who share it, and as I slide into the welcome bosom of a rusted and burnt-out car wreck, I glance across to the girl whom I may have, in another life, loved. And we share one final smile before she covers her mouth with a banshee mask. I wonder, as I cock my pistol in my hand and tear my eyes away from her, if she does so to hide the presence of virgin fear upon a face that I have come to associate with an ironclad bravery and resolution, unshakable despite the world that did so hungrily engulf us. The men who come for us have followed us for miles beyond counting, and through their jeers and shouts, and the hail of eager gunfire that rains down upon the walls we hide behind, I hear a joy I recognize as one I could never replicate. My darling banshee screams retorts, and unloads the rifle she buries into her shoulder, with a zealousness I find intoxicating, and I fire shot after shot through smashed windows, refusing to allow the numbers that face us to deter my need to protect this place, and to protect her, and to protect one final symbol of hope in a world drowned in defeat. A bullet grazes my cheek, and I fall, landing on my side with a thud, providing me with the perfect vantage to watch around take her in the breast, forcing her onto her back as I had, so many times, laid her thus to satisfy needs neither of us could repress. I scramble to my feet, and I continue unloading shot after shot at those who scream triumph at us, the scent of their blood-soaked victory looming in the air, a fate they had clearly decided for themselves. For what fate could never be achieved through overwhelming force and reckless abandon? Perhaps we should have learned from them, had we the chance or urge. Bullets rain down on me, and life, for a while, grows quiet and peaceful, and I turn to glimpse one last time the girl I had followed to the end of our world, gladly, and with one final smile upon my face. As I lay dying, bullet holes beyond counting, oozing scarlet misery from my fading body, I ponder the meaning behind all this. Were me and mine nothing but allegory to highlight the fastidiousness of the human spirit, that even in the direst grip of life, in its most corrupt, the human soul might still reach forward with grasping hands to reach the sun, Icarus be damned. Ha! As my slipping mind allows the true damnable nature of my very, very temporary existence to breach the walls of my ailing refusal, I figure that perhaps we are to be nothing but a never-told story of the futility of dreamers in a world that feeds on hope and shits steaming truth. I crane my neck to glimpse, just once more, the object of my desire, and smile. Maybe, just maybe, the thing I truly wanted, the object of my true, heartfelt desire, is not this stoic and still living thing, adorned in shining fruit, that, had I the chance, may have rested upon my dry, desperate tongue and invigorated me. Perhaps that which I truly needed, that which I may not have deserved, but may have earned through word and deed, and in sharing the burden of this cursed world, now lies still warm and dead upon a bed of rust and blood, embalmed in mystery and immortalized in a regret I fear I will never be permitted to experience. But some pleasures simply aren't meant to be tasted. Sometimes it's just better that way.